The schedule, number C, right? Character of Ruth and Doctrine of Salvation, five sections. So we spend the first three sections talk about the decision of Naomi's family and the decision of four persons. And second section and third section, we discuss about the virtue of Naomi and Ruth. And the last two sections is the doctrine of salvation. So last night, we talked about the marriage between Ruth and the Boaz. Boaz represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had many good virtues. So actually, he was a very good person, Jesus Christ, we can learn from him. He was a very good person, the perfect one. And also, Ruth, before she went to see Boaz to get connected with Boaz, become more intimate, and later on marriage. Before that, she has gone through first taking a bath, the second put the oil, the third and put on the garment, right? Now all this had a spiritual meaning. As a church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to connect it to Jesus Christ, but before that we had to go through a certain type of preparation. And then the last chapter, Ruth chapter 5. Now we look into from genealogy and think about salvation. How does that mean? Why the book of Ruth end up in talking about genealogy? Yeah, let's turn to the book of Ruth chapter 5. Chapter 4. Ruth, chapter 4. The last verse. That's 21 and 22. Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, 22. Obed, Jesse, and Jesse begot David. So from here, we can see the genealogy, right? Boaz's son, Obed, Obed's son, Jesse, and Jesse's son, David, and end up here, right? Then what does that mean? Oh. If we go into Matthew, the book of Matthew, start from verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The son of David, the son of Abraham. So we connect the last verse of the book of Ruth with the first verse of the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Then we know that Jesus Christ related to David. So the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. and the son of Abraham. Verse 1 talk about three persons. The first person is Christ, and Christ connect to David, and David connected to Abraham. Because in the Bible, there was a prophecy that the Messiah, the Savior, will come from the descendant of David. So if we can recall, right, there was a blind person. It happened, Jesus Christ passing by a city. And that blind person asked, what's going on? And people say, the Jesus of Nazareth is coming, right? And then that blind person cried aloud when Jesus Christ passing by. How did the blind person cry aloud? Have mercy on me, and then what? Son of David. Yeah. He was blind physically, but his spiritual eye is wide open. People say this is the son of Nazareth. We know Nathanael, right? He just say, is anything good come from Nazareth? Right? Because Nazareth is something, somewhere is not famous. So they consider Messiah should come from very famous place, like Jerusalem. The Jesus of Nazareth, that means Jesus is nothing. Just an ordinary teacher. But that blind people say, son of David. No, that means he knew this one, the one who passing by, is a Messiah prophesied by the Old Testament. No, he cried aloud, and Jesus stopped and said, what do you want me to do for you? Right? And he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, you can see. And that one moment, he regained the sight. So Jesus Christ, according to prophecy, he will be the descendant of David. And Jesus Christ have a genealogy. At least, there are two reasons. The first reason, genealogy is to show that Jesus Christ is an ordinary human being like you and me, right? Have the flesh, have the blood inside. He is not a superman, and he is not any human being with a different kind of nature, right? Spiritual body or something. If anyone say Jesus Christ is only God, is not man, is wrong. If anyone say Jesus Christ is only man, a morally perfect man, is not God, is not right. Jesus Christ is perfectly a human being, and he is also God himself. So genealogy to prove Jesus. Historical Jesus is a human being. This is the first purpose. The second purpose of the genealogy of Jesus Christ is to connect to Abraham. So the genealogy starts from verse 2. Abraham begot Isaac. Start from all the way down, right? Abraham, and then talk about verse 5. Solomon begot Boaz, right? And through Ruth. And then verse 6, and David the king. 7, Solomon. And then the last one. End up where? Last one. 16. Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So this genealogy, we can see Boaz was part of the genealogy. And before Boaz was Abraham, and after Boaz was David, and then Jesus Christ. So what does that relate to salvation? How come this genealogy start from Abraham? Then we have to go into the Bible. If we look into the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father, and to a land I will show you, and will make you a great nation. And I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you. Here talk about God promised Abraham what? First, a piece of land. The second, a great nation. The third, a lot of descendants, right? Oh, so if we want to draw a picture, right? Abraham. This land had two meanings. Also, these people had two meanings. When Abraham really reached to Canaan, where was his heart? And then you can see when Abraham reached to heaven, where was his heart? You can see the book of Hebrew. Hebrew chapter 11, verse 8 and verse 9 and verse 10. Hebrew 11, verse 8 to verse 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And this is Canaan, right? When he went out, not knowing where he was going. Verse 9. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country. Dwelt in tent with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. And then verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundation and whose builder and maker is God. And so verse 10, he waited for a city. That city is what? What was that city? If we read verse 13. And those who die in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen from afar off, were assumed to them, embraced them, and confessed that they were stranger and pilgrim on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, and they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, heavenly country. So when Abraham reached to the physical promised land, Canaan, his heart already looking for a city which was managed by God, and that is heaven. So this land,
actually had two meanings. The first meaning is heaven. And the second meaning is canon.
So that was a promise of God to Abraham. His descendant will be multiplied, and his descendant will inherit heaven, spiritual country. And his descendant will inherit Canaan, the physical land. That was a promise, the covenant God made with Abraham. So this is the beginning of journey of the faith. So Abraham, that on, you know, Abraham, what was the son? Isaac, right? And Isaac, the son, is Jacob. And Jacob is Joseph. And then on, Jacob changed to Israel. All right. And then, you know the story, right? Joseph was sold to Egypt. So here come to Egypt. And Canaan, Abraham, God promised him Canaan. But after four generations, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, it end up the chosen people, the prince of God, Jacob, moved to Canaan, moved to Egypt. So they multiply in Egypt for about 430 years, something like that. And then, since God promised them to have Canaan, but right now, the whole people live in Egypt. So what should they do? So that comes the Exodus. Exodus. The book of Exodus is moving out of Egypt and heading back to Canaan. This is a historical event, moving to back to Canaan. And the spiritually speaking, when they came out of Egypt, right? This is called baptism. Right? Baptism. They crossed the Red Sea, called baptism. And then when they crossed the Jordan River, right? Jordan River. That's the end of the journey. And then they go back to Canaan. And that Jordan River represents heaven. So our faith is a spiritual journey. From the time of baptism until of time, we go into the heaven. This is the historical event recorded in the Old Testament. Now, if we don't heed to the promise of God, right? God promised this land give to Abraham and his descendant. Abraham and his descendant. And they don't change to Israelite because Israel have 12 tribes. But the question is, you and me, we are not Israelite, right? We are not Israelite. Then how can you have part with God's promise to Abraham? How? We are not Abraham. How can you inherit that piece of land God promised to Abraham? How? We must have some way to connect it to Abraham. If we cannot connect it to Abraham, we cannot receive God's promise to Abraham. And how can we connect to Abraham? Think about how can we connect to Abraham? Okay, if we read the book of Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have observed my voice. In your seed, this is a singular, right? Which means one person. Through one person, all the nation of the earth shall be blessed. All the nation of the earth, including the Israelite, the Jews, chosen people. All the nation, including the non-Jews, the Gentile, including you and me. So in Genesis chapter 22, already prophesied, the Jews and non-Jews all shall be blessed. Blessed about what? To inherit that promised land, heaven. But this seed is singular, right? And this seed is Jesus Christ. So through Jesus Christ, the promise God gave to Abraham will give to everyone in the world. So now, how can we connect with Jesus Christ? We already know that from the genealogy, Jesus Christ was a descendant of Abraham, right? If we can connect with Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, we can connect to Abraham, and we can receive that blessing too. How can we connect to Jesus Christ? Can you find a verse in New Testament? Let's turn to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Chapter 3, verse 26. Now, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. And there is neither male nor female. Right? For you are all one in Christ Jesus. How can that be? 27. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So through baptism. Once we receive the baptism, our sin been removed. So once we receive the baptism, we baptize into Jesus Christ. So we belong to Jesus Christ. So Holy Spirit descend on us, and Holy Spirit calls the Lord Jesus Christ Abba Father. So it's proof right now we belong to Jesus Christ. And verse 28, so neither Jews nor Greek, racial background is not important anymore. Neither slave nor free, the social status is not important anymore. And neither male or female. Male and female, all the same. For you are one in Christ Jesus. So through Jesus Christ, everybody connected to Abraham. And since everybody connected to Abraham, the last 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Look, you are Christ. You are Abraham's seed. So we connect to Abraham. And then we are the heirs according to the promise. According to the promise God promised to Abraham. The book of Ruth eventually talk about doctrine of salvation. How come it's related to book of Ruth related to the doctrine of salvation. Right? Ruth was a Gentile. Actually, she has no part with God's blessing. But through the marriage of the husband, she connected to the chosen people. And through the marriage to Boaz, and she become part of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know Jesus Christ's salvation is not only given to the Abraham physical descendant, it also will be given to everyone who receive the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we are very much blessed. So this is the doctrine of salvation about the book of Ruth. Through her, as part of the genealogy, we all can be connected. Now we look into the teaching material. Teaching material, the second page. But point four. But Boaz married Ruth. Number one, Boaz becomes the kinsman redeemer. Last night we already mentioned it. Because according to the law, when a widow, the husband died, the closest relative had to marry that widow in order to have offspring. And so the family tree can continue. And then one of the closest relatives refused to do that because he considered about his own property, and he did not want to do it. So later on, Boaz married the Ruth. So Boaz became the kinsman redeemer, redeemed through the relative of Boaz. So this is today is a prefigure. Boaz prefigure Christ, and we are like a Gentile, or we belong to Gentile, right? And we married to the Boaz and connected to the salvation, the blessing of Abraham. So the Ruth prefigure the church. And point number D, descendant of Boaz and Ruth, that we already mentioned, talk about genealogy. So genealogy is very important for the Jews. When the time they come back to rebuild the chapel, to rebuild the temple in the book of Nehemiah, the first thing they do is they make sure they are genealogy, or whether they connected to Abraham. If anyone cannot find in the genealogy tree, genealogy cannot find it, and that person cannot serve in rebuilding the temple. So today, what does that mean? You mean in the church, right? Our spiritual genealogy is connected to Jesus Christ. At what time? At the time of baptism. So if anyone is not connected to Jesus Christ, and that person cannot participate rebuilding the chapel, the temple, and that temple is church. So when we look into the Old Testament and give a spiritual interpretation, rebuilding the church is in the Old Testament rebuilding the temple. Right? So anyone who wants to join the church work, it must be a person who has spiritual genealogy connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the promise of God can come to us. And now we come back to the last one. The interpretation of the book of Ruth. The first is deciding by faith. So this is a review of the whole book. The whole book can be interpreted in the four stages. The first stage is deciding by faith, which is we start a lot of time discussing in Ruth chapter 1. When we make decision, in our decision, the invisible value in our heart will decide what kind of decision we made. And value comes from faith. Different faiths have different value. But actually, the value can categorize into two. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. How will faith affect the value? And the value affect our decision making. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, you talk about the things can be categorized into two, right? The things which are seen. The things which are seen is something material in this world. And then the things which are not seen is what? Spiritual, in the spiritual realm. God, we cannot see it. Heaven, we cannot see it. Soul, we cannot see it. The glory in heaven, we cannot see it. The eternity in heaven, we cannot see it. So that is a sin which not seen. So in front of us, our physical body deep in this world, but where is our heart? That's the most important. If our physical body deep in the world and our heart remain in the world, and then we will deep exactly according to the people in the world. How come? Because our mindset is in the world. Our eye look at in the world. And the world in some part is wonderful. So our value is in the world. And we decide according to whatever other people decide. But the more important is our physical body deep in the world, but our heart, through faith, we live in the spiritual realm. And that's the most important part. And that is the most difficult part. And that's called transformation. So, as a youth, what should we do? There are only two ways. One is conformation. Another one is transformation. Only two ways. We'll come back here. Let's see Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's talk about we present ourselves a living sacrifice. It's not necessary. You have to be involved in full-time ministry. It means we present our totality, your time, your energy, your mind, your heart, your money, and your knowledge, to do something for God, to do something for church, and to glorify his name, to please God, and that's called living sacrifice. And then verse 2 talk about do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So there's two parts, two important words, conformed or transformed. So we come here for what? Spiritual transformation. Physically, we live in the world, but spiritually, our heart be transformed. And transformed by the renewal of your mind. Renewal of our mind. How can our mind be renewed? How? By the words of God. Gradually, we adjust our thinking according to the words of God. Gradually, we adjust our value according to the words of God. Renew our mind by the words of God. The second, we renew our mind by the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, we are controlled by impulse or our personal sinful nature. But after we feel by the Holy Spirit, that sinful nature just fall apart because the power of God is so powerful. So we will be controlled by Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will move us, control our thought. The world just pull us down to the world. Everything we think about, all the things in the world. But the Holy Spirit will lift us up. So your heart will be higher and higher. When our heart being lifted up higher and higher, we are closer and closer to God. We can feel God more. We can experience God more. So Holy Spirit will transform us. Just like a wind blow on the eagle. When the wind blow on the eagle, and the eagle just straight out the wind, and it can fly above. Above from the gravity of the world. So we are the person being blessed by God. We have everything, right? You have everything. But our mind just been dragged down to the world. Our idea of life, all in the world. Our goal of life, all in the world, all in the physical body. But right now, we've been blown by the spiritual wind, so we can gradually fly above. Our mindset gradually will closer to God. This is the second one, renewal of our mind. The third one is love. The love of God fill upon us. So gradually our heart will be renewed by God's love. And what's the difference? We know, right? Love does not seek its own. That's called love. So originally, before we are filled by the love of God, we always think about my own benefit. What is my future? I want to apply to best school, well-trained. I will get the best job and a high income. And then what? I can live a very comfortable life in the world. All right? Self-centered. Everybody's the same. But gradually, when we are filled by the love of God, we are filled by the love of God, all of a sudden we feel that what? God loved me so much. And just like 2 Corinthians we read, right? He was rich, but because of it, he's become poor. And because of his poverty, we can become rich. So he and us, the role is exchange. He was all waiting to come down to become a lowly form, to suffer, so that we can be lifted up and can be transformed and to be abundant. So this kind of Christ Jesus love fill upon our heart, and gradually we can be transformed. Don't think about our own benefit. Gradually we'll think about other people's benefit and also God's business. So renewal by your mind. So what kind of life we will live? Eventually all depends on we are transformed, we are conformed. If we are conformed, even you live until the time of retirement, your life exactly is the same with your classmate, your friend. If we are transformed, the rest of your life, you will be different. So let's come back to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. Verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh, so if we are conformed by the world, we only pay attention to something temporary. Oh, right? So the, you know, the wise person, how do they plan their life? They plan the life, the last stage, what? Retirement. Accumulate more money, right? So when you reach retirement, you can tour all over the world. You can have fun, a lot of fun. That's the most smart person think about. But when we have faith, our life already been extended to spiritual realm, then we think about eternity. We think about after we die, where I'm going. So this is the spiritual transformation. And then we come back to deciding by faith. So faith will transform our value. Value will decide the decision we made. Okay, the first stage. The second is gleaning under grace. Picking up the grant under the grace of Boaz. So, we live in this life, we are living under the grace of Jesus Christ. We already mentioned so many times, right? Our life has a lot of difficulties, but if we have the grace of God, we only do our best. Whatever you can do, do your best. Whatever we cannot do, God uses grace to cover it. So we have no worry. But if we don't have the grace of God, after we do our best, we have a lot of worry. So the difference is gleaning under the grace. Gleaning means we have to do our best, our own duty. Under the grace means that God will provide something unexpectedly. This is the second stage of the book of Ruth, grace. So Jesus Christ, when he was young, he already had the grace of God with him. So he has nothing. He was son of carpenter, but you can see he lived a very meaningful life, right? All he need, God provide because of grace. So today, instead of worrying too much about how do we live our life, we have to put more effort, energy, pursue. How can we unite it with God? And God's kingdom and God's righteousness and God's grace will be sufficient. We are going to have no worry. And after Ruth resolved the difficulty of life, and then the next stage, communing in fellowship. Fellowship with whom? With Boaz. So you can see the Boaz talk so graciously to Ruth. All the gracious words actually comfort Ruth a lot. So eventually, after our lively difficulty covered by the grace of God, we enjoy the fellowship with God. We enjoy fellowship with God. And that's the most sweet experience we do have. And Ruth has a very close relationship with Boaz's servant. So we enjoy the communion with God's servant, which means the church member. And the last stage, resting in redemption. Mary, Boaz, and Boaz take care of everything. So eventually, Mary, our Lord Jesus Christ, have very intimate relation with the Jesus Christ, and then we enjoy a life of rest, without worry. So Jesus Christ said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You just learn from my imitate me, and you will enjoy the rest. So, as a Christian, we can enjoy rest every day. Life is a burden. Yes, every day we have burden, but Jesus Christ will let us enjoy the rest. So, resting in redemption. So, these are the four stages we interpret the book of Ruth. Okay, let's pray inside. Amen. Finished.